The specials, fellas, the special tonight, and the congregational singing and the choir directing and having a little fun in the Lord, amen. And I'm going to move that for now. If you have a Bible tonight, go to Philippians chapter 1, Philippians chapter 1. Maintain your prayer now for Brother Tom, Pastor Tom. And he'll, it's big day Sunday. And when you have a little something else going on extra on top of that, it can be quite tiring to the man of God. And so pray for him, hold him up. And when he finally gets in tonight, he'll be wore to a frazzle, my dad used to say. And I think Aunt Maggie used to say, worn to a frazzle. And of course, they were brother and sister, so they said a lot of things alike, man. But in Philippians chapter 1 tonight, I wanted to look for a few moments at something Paul said here to the Philippian church. And there's a lesson, if not a message, in a few things here, a few thoughts in the book of Philippians. And I just want to look at a few of those things tonight. And in Philippians chapter 1, verse 1, I want to look at three verses of Scripture, and then we'll try to expound a little bit on those three passages plus a few others. But as we look at these things tonight, we want to... The message is not one of those convicting messages where you're going to have to crawl to the altar to get right. It's not one of those kind of messages. It's more of an informative message seen in the Scripture to exhort one another, or to exhort us to love and good works. It's not about love and good works, but it's one of those kind of messages. And seldom do I even try to put together a message that would, you know, I'm thinking in the back of my mind, boy, they're going to flood the altar now. I never think about that. I don't care. You know what I'm saying? That's your business between you and God. It's not between the man of God or the preacher and anything anybody does. But a lot of folks seem to judge a sermon or a message on how much response there was during the invitation. That's not a good way to judge the Word of God. Not a good way at all. So we never look at that, but it's not one of those kinds of messages. But in Philippians chapter 1, I want to talk about, I just want to talk about the saints tonight, and not the New Orleans Saints. My mind went immediately down to the New Orleans Saints. I know it did. I don't even know if they play baseball or football. I just know there's somebody out there called the Saints. But I'm not going to talk about those saints tonight. And then there's a shop in Cincinnati called Saint Plastering. That's not us. And I know that shop. And they're anything but saints. So I'm not going to preach about them. I want to talk about the saints that we find in the Word of God. And there are two schools of theology on who's a saint and who's not a saint. And the schools of theology come from different sects of religion. But then we want to not worry so much about what religion says a saint is, but rather what the Word of God says a saint is. And that's just when I studied and back in Bible school. Of course, you never done studying. I love to study and I like to research. And I researched this afternoon and looked at some of that. And I thought, you know, that's pretty good. Some things never change. And this group over here think these people are saints. And this group over here think these are saints. And this group right here thinks nobody's a saint. So we're going to find out what the Bible says tonight about sainthood. Paul said in verse 1, Paul and Timotheus, the servant of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Now, could I submit unto you tonight that the word saints is found there in the plural? It's a collective statement. And by the way, every time it's mentioned in the Bible, it's in the plural form, which it's talking about a group. It's not talking about an individual. One time in the scripture is the word saint singular mentioned right here in Philippians. I guess we might as well study that. Look, if you come on over to chapter 4. This is probably not in my notes. No, I'm sure that it's not. But even in this sentence where the word saint singular is, watch what it says. It says, salute every. That means, every means collectively all those. Every saint, and that'd be correct English, in Christ Jesus, the brethren which are with me greet you. So even there, it's speaking of a collective group of folks. So it's never really found in the singular. Now, I'm not going to get up here and tell you tonight, well, I am Saint Phil. It's not, by the way, last time I checked, you weren't either. Well, let's see what the Bible says, amen? Might surprise you. Let me say, a saint is someone who has been saved. Because of the context here, those at Philippi, it's someone that has been saved. So you couldn't be a saint without salvation by grace through faith. You just couldn't be a saint. If you've never been born again, according to the Bible, you're not a saint. According to the Bible and the definition that I can find in the Word of God. Now, we are to be mindful, the Bible says, of all saints. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 says this. Paul writes again. He's very consistent in his writings as he speaks. He says, praying always, Ephesians 6, 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication. Be careful now for all saints. Say, who's he talking to? He's talking about the body of believers that are saved, born again, that make up that assembly in the Ephesus church. So two times, once at Philippi, one in Ephesians, he refers to the saved congregation that's alive and well as saints. Thirdly, we have received the mystery for saints, you and I have, if we're saved. Colossians chapter 1, just a little groundwork here. Colossians 1, 26. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest, be careful, to his saints. So again, we find out that he's consistent. A saint must be someone that understands the mystery in the church age. The church was hid from generations gone by. So may I submit unto you tonight, a saint has to be alive, according to the Word of God. A saint has to be saved, according to the Word of God. A saint has to be somebody that knows about the mystery, or that mystery he speaks of is Christ dwelling in you. Now, I want to talk about other theology in just a moment, but this is Bible theology. It's a big word talking about the things that are right in the Word of God. There is a multitude of saints, according to the Word of God, 1 Thessalonians 3:13, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. So again, we find the plural. And I said, it's always found the plural except one time. Then he says, every saint. And he's talking about many even at that time. So there's the mindfulness of saints. There's the mystery for the saints. There's the multitude of saints, those that have been saved and born again. There's the ministering of the saints. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 10, Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10, he says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which he hath showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. So there's the ministering of the saints, a saint ministering to a saint tonight. Guess what? You may not feel like a saint, but if you're born again, the Bible says you're a saint. Say, wow, I'm a saint. Just like Mother Teresa. Well, I wouldn't go that far. There's a school of theology that says out there that I don't subscribe to that says you have to be dead and canonized to be a true saint. Couldn't prove that with one verse of scripture in the Bible. Amen. So there's one major difference between religion, certain religion, and a Bible believer. Somebody that's saved by the grace of God. Because nobody in the scripture ever has to be canonized, if you please. There's other terms for it, but that's the word they use. And I think you have to have done some miracle, some healing, seen something somewhere, had a vision, done somewhere. Well, plenty of us have seen things, amen. But that doesn't qualify you for sainthood. It never did, never will. But according to the word of God, in the age that we live, we're the mystery is given to us. That's Christ in us. If you're born again, the Bible calls you a saint of God. You're saints collectively here today. And nobody prays in your name. Huh? But there's a school of theology out there that says, well, now that we have a dead saint that's been canonized, we can simply pray in that saint's name and our prayers will be answered. I can't find that anywhere in the Word of God. We say, oh, religion says it and everybody believes it. Well, that doesn't change the truth, amen. So tonight, and I'm not being ugly or mean, or I'm just giving you some Bible information. It's an informational type message. It's good to know that you're a saint. You say, I sure don't feel like a saint. Well, you are a saint. I mean, I know you're living in the flesh. I'm living in the flesh. And one of these days we'll get a new body and we'll be clothed upon with a white robe, the scripture says. But God even refers to us now while we're down here. We are the saints of God. Now, I realize some people don't act like a saint. Amen. And we've said, he sure ain't no saint. She sure ain't no saint. I got it. But the Bible says if you're saved, you're the saints of God. I like that. You out here tonight singing, oh, when the saints go marching in. Okay. But Timothy says, and the book of Hebrews, for God is not unrighteous to forget your works and labor of love, which he, and I quoted that before, ye have showed toward his name in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. You know there are saints in this church that have ministered to saints in this church. We heard some testimony tonight, some praise tonight, people ministered to other people, but it's always good when a saint will minister to a saint. Some of you minister through your talents. Amen. Some of you minister through your music and your singing. Some of you music, you know, the fiddle playing, and I mean, that was good. Who can say it's not good? Say, well, they do. They ministered to the saints. And so when somebody gets up and they've worked hard and they've got a special, they can get up and sing that special, put their heart in that. They are ministering to the saints of God. And guess what? I need that ministering. I've been ministered to in food. You can just tell by looking at me. Somebody brought cookies tonight. I have to sample those cookies before they get too far down the road. Somebody has already sampled those cookies. But a saint, we're saints. Let me, I just want to lay this down. I'm going to make 3 or 4 points and be done. There's the movement of the saints in the little book of Jude, of verse 14. The Bible says, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied to these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with the 10,000s of his saints. One of these days, we're going to be over there. And those that are born again, those that are in washed in the blood of the Lamb, are going to come back. And he said, there'll be 10,000s of them. And they'll come with the Lord in the air on the white horse. And it'll be the saints of God that are with him in that army. And you're one of those saints today. There's the melody. We talked of singing just a moment ago of the saints. Revelation chapter 15, verse 3. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. You say, who was singing? The saints of God were singing the songs about the blood. You say, why? Because they're the redeemed. That's why you're a saint. You've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And you're going to sing about it throughout all eternity. The angels ain't got nothing to sing about like you got to sing about. Say why? They weren't ever born into sin. We were. But God shed his precious blood for us. And that when we died, we became the sons of God, the Bible says. And he calls us saints. Now, I had a definition for saints. I was looking for it. I never did find it. So I won't belabor you. You can look it up and Google the word saint and find a pretty good definition for it. There's the melody, the singing of the saints. But let us come back to the Philippians and see just what the saint, watch it, has in his Savior. Our Savior being the Lord Jesus Christ. Let nobody be confused about that. It's not the Mother Church. It's not the Virgin Mary. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. What do we have as saints of God in the Lord Jesus Christ? Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. I thank you today for the prayers for us. And I wanted to say that when I began. And I'm a little overwhelmed with everything that's going on. But we'll make it through it just like you have many trials and tribulations. We're fine. And it's not really on me. But we shoulder some of the load. But thank you for your prayers and those sort of things. I'm just glad we know the Lord tonight and can help other saints. So notice your number, your position in Christ, Philippians 1:1. To all the saints in Christ Jesus, when you get saved, you are put in Christ. Positionally, you are in Christ. Brother, that's a good feeling. You are a part of a body. You've been placed in by the Holy Ghost of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13 said you're put in by one Spirit. You're put in by the Holy Ghost of God. You're baptized in the body of Christ. So what is that? Positionally, when you got saved, you were put in Christ. You say, well, I can't see Christ. I can't feel Christ. That's because you're on earth and you're in the human flesh. But spiritually speaking, you're there. You're already there. Your names are written down. You're as good as in. You say, why? It's a spiritual operation that's performed without hands, and God performs it, and positionally, he puts you in Christ. You're a saint because you're in Christ. I like being a saint. Romans chapter 8, Paul said this in verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And brother, thank God tonight, I don't have to walk after the flesh, but I can continue in the Spirit and ask God to help me day by day. You say, why? Because I'm his son, and he calls me a saint. And brother, I know sonship is closer, but sainthood, oh man, it's like over there in England when they knight somebody. Brother, it's a big deal. They get the sword out, and the queen comes out, and the king comes out, and they hocus pocus this and that, and they knight you. I'd rather be a saint. Amen. See, you think you're something? When the saints go marching in, brother. Amen. I don't even know if that song's scriptural. I don't know. But if I'm called a saint, the word of God, I'm going to get in there one of these days. And brother, I wanted you to notice that position. You are in Christ. Don't let anybody take that from you. Don't let anybody talk you out of that thing. Don't anybody bamboozle you out of that thing. Brother, you're in Christ. You're secure. You're there. You're locked in. You're there. You're a saint. People say, well, they sure don't call me a saint. You're a saint tonight. Amen. Look at your privileges as a saint. Philippians chapter 1, verse 15, you're right there. Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. Our privilege is that we might preach Christ. Now, I know some people say, well, I don't like the way they preach. Listen, leave them alone. Well, they preach the strife and envy. I know it's not good, it's not right, and there's some guys out there, but you know what? They're preaching, God said, leave them alone. It's our privilege to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, where did I get that privilege? Being a saint of God. And not only would you have the privilege to preach, but simply to proclaim the gospel day after day after day. So we should proclaim or preach Christ every day if we can. It's our privilege to preach Christ being a saint of God. It's almost like knighthood, like I said before. You're carrying out the commission of the king. You're there. You've been called the saints of God, and you have a privilege. And not only that, I said you're positionally, you're in Christ. The privileges are that you can preach Christ, and then God has a purpose for you being a saint. Say why? To live for Christ. Watch your Bible in First Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So Paul knew that for him to live is Christ. You say, why? He knew, he understood what he was and what he had as a saint of God. Now, a saint is going to act saintly. And we was on a little of that this morning in Sunday school class. Brother Tom got on kindness, had a tremendous message this morning, really spoke to my heart. I appreciate that. And I've never met anybody that was too kind to anybody. Amen? But here tonight, you're a saint of God. I don't care what you look like. I don't care how you feel. The Bible said if you're saved and born again, you have a privilege, you have a position, and you have a purpose. And that purpose as a saint of God is simply to live for Christ. I'm trying, Brother Phil. That's all any of us can do. I'm trying. I mean, every day I get up, I know that God has sainted me, and I am going to live for him. So the simple thought here, the purpose simply to live for him, our true purpose as a saint is to live for Christ. Psalm said this in Psalms 30 and verse 4, sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. You ever catch yourself walking around the house or doing the dishes or mowing the grass, and man, you just can't get some tune out of your head? And you're singing it, Amazing Grace, how sweet. And you just can't get it out there. You say, well, I'll sing At the Cross. And you sing Amazing Grace words to At the Cross because you can't get Amazing Grace out of your head. Now, and you think you're going crazy. That's a good thing. At least you ain't singing some crazy thing you heard, 20 years ago. Or yesterday on the radio. I mean, I don't want to even try to quote any of those words. And when I get one of those songs stuck in my head, I replace it immediately with something like Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, to save a wretch like me. Amen? Yeah. You ever notice how words to songs, they get a hold of you, man, and get in your mind, and they mess you up if you're not careful. And David said, sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy. Does anybody ever remember Confederate Railroad? Say, you listen to that outfit? No. But in 1968 or 69, they had one hit. I think. I'm messed up. I don't think good. Getting old. But it said, I probably shouldn't even say this. I don't think I will. You go look up Confederate Railroad and look at the songs. It was some country song. You just couldn't get out of your head, you know. But isn't it funny how the world knows, but Christians can't get a hold of it? I'd rather sing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, to save a wretch like me. Amen and amen and amen. I'd rather go around all day singing Nothing But the Blood, Nothing But the Blood. Amen. I'd rather sing that. Amen. I'd rather sing Sweet By and By day after day, than some of the old lyrics that I heard, and I heard them three or four times, couldn't get them out of my head, and they burned a spot in there. And once in a while you start thinking about that, you know it ain't right, and it ain't becoming to a saint. So I don't think them anymore, and I don't sing them anymore. Amen. I want to think of the good songs and the good words, because David said that. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Psalms chapter 31, verse 23. O love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. And that means he'll take care of the proud. They'll get their due. But to the saints of God, who are humble in nature, the cornerstone of their foundation is humility. And because they're the saints of God, they know where they came from. God saved them. But they're to sing and to love. And it says here, that for the Lord preserveth the faithful. Listen, if you're a saint tonight, one of the things that you got is the preservation of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's preserving you. He's going to take care of you. Say, why? You're his saint. Amen. That's just Bible. And I said, positionally, you're in Christ. Privileges you have to preach Christ. A purpose God gives you, just simply live for him. And then in that living for him, sing some songs of joy to him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Man, I make up my own song like Roloff did. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God. Is Mount Zion on the side? He's quoting Psalms 48, but sets it to tune. And man, he just sings them psalms. I'd rather have that stuck in my mind. You say, why? It's becoming to the Christ that wrote it, amen. It's becoming to the God that sainted me and saved me. And brother, it's my privilege to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Something that you have as a saint. Our prospect, and I just had a few thoughts here, our prospect to be with Christ. Do you ever think about that? I think the older you get, the more you might think about it. When you're a little younger, you know, thinking about this or that or doing this or that. But get a little older, you think, you know, one of these days I'm going to be with the Lord. Man, that's quite a prospect. And that's great. Philippians chapter 1, verse 23, it says, for I am in a straits betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Say, what's Paul meant? He said, he's ready to go. He said, I'd rather be with Christ. He says, my prospect is to be with Christ. Now, if he wasn't a saint of God, he had no prospect like that at all. But you realize being saved, called a saint in the Word of God, the prospect that you have is actually being with Christ. To be absent with the body, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. What a beautiful prospect. Psalms 37, the Bible says in verse 28, for the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. Now, I like that twice the word preserveth. Psalms 31, 23, it showed up, for the Lord preserveth the faithful. Psalms 37, 28, it shows up, they are preserved forever. I like the fact that not only we have a privilege, not only we have a purpose, but we're not only is there a prospect, but we're preserved as a saint. Something happens to you, you're God, you belong to him. Let me say here, there's a prize for the saint of God. Philippians said in 3 verse 8, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may, be careful here, win Christ. You know, he didn't count any worldly thing as his prize. He counted Christ as his prize. You know, he's quite a catch. He's quite a prize. I don't mean to belittle anything by saying catch. That's not the right terminology, but what a prize. To find out that Christ, what a great prize. What a grander, if you please. What a grander person to be yours. What a gracious grace, if we could say. You say, what is that? I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God, which is Christ Jesus my Lord. Listen, Christ is our prize as saints. Our perfection, Christ himself, verse 21, who in Philippians 3, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able ever to subdue all things unto himself. Today, I would say, be like Christ. Tomorrow, be like Christ. John chapter 3, I believe it's 3 verse 2. 1 John, that is. 1 John 3, 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Say, how's that possible? Because you've been saved, and he calls you his saint. And the book of Philippians is full of the word saints. In Paul's writings, he's talking about those that were saved. He calls them saints. There's a power connected with being a saint. That's something that you have in the Savior tonight. A power of God through Christ. Philippians 4:13, spoken of right there. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You say, why? It's a resurrection power. It didn't happen before the resurrection, because it'll wait you here till you be endued with power. Acts chapter 1. And he says, when the Holy Spirit shall come, Acts chapter 2, you shall be endued with power to be witnesses unto me to the uttermost part of the world. There's a power connected with being a child of God and a saint of God to be a witness for God. You know, when you'll speak up and say something good about the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a power connected with that. But there's a supernatural force that works against that, that will belittle you and make you feel bad and make you feel inferior and make you almost not say anything. But if you can muster the boldness and say, get thee behind me, Satan, and say, hey, I just want to speak up for the Lord. Give him a track. Won't you come to church, sonny? Boy, I messed that one up. Okay. I'm supposed to read all of them. Say, what is that? That is a power that you have. You older folks, do you realize that there's a power connected with the older aged saints? And I'm careful here. Say, why? When an elderly lady or an elderly man shows up to talk to somebody about the Lord, they pay attention if they got any sense at all. Now, when a young person comes, not that you don't have the Holy Spirit power with you, but there's something about the longevity of the saints of God that blesses God and God blesses them, and there's a power connected with them. I had a friend named Doc Horton. His first name was Lonnie Horton, but he was an aerospace engineer. And he worked for Cape Canaveral and then Houston, Texas, and he retired from there. And he was a radio engineer, and he built a radio station down in Alamo, Texas, called WKJV. That was our call letters. And we helped him get started there and get on the air, and we'd go soul winning. And I was this young man of 25 or 6 years old, and 27 maybe. Was I that old, or was I 37? I don't even remember. It's too far. But he was older. And we go knocking on doors, and there was just something about that man that God had blessed. I think it was the gray hair. No, I don't know. I had black hair, you know, skinny and lean. And I just come along, a little old kid with a big old Bible under his arm, little kid preacher trying to preach, and he'd be the witness. And man, when he spoke, people listened. And he'd tell people about how God saved him. And he said, look, I'd like to tell you my story. Would you let me tell you my story? So, well, what's your story about? He'd start off about like that. He says, well, I was an aerospace engineer for Cape Canaveral. Well, they said, you mean Sputnik and all that? Yeah, back in the day. He said, what'd you do? He says, I wired radio transmitters and was into that department as an engineer for communications. You know that thing there that says, Houston, we've got a problem? He said, that's the stuff I did. And all of a sudden, he had their ear. And he said, you know what? I was an alcoholic. I had the world by the tail, so I thought. Till somebody come to me one day and opened the Bible and said, has anybody ever showed you where you're going to go when you die? And he said, well, no, not just like that. And read him over there in Revelation chapter 21, where the wicked shall be cast into hell. And, well, that's Psalms, but over there where they cast all those that did not believe, the beast, the false prophet, and the lake of fire, he said, that's you one of these days. He says, man, here I am trying to get people landed on the moon, trying to get communications going on, and something's trying to communicate with me. And he said, it's the Holy Spirit of God talking to my heart. And I got down and trusted Christ as my Savior, and it changed my life. I quit drinking, I quit smoking, I quit carousing, quit doing all those things, and I started serving God. And man, next thing you know, he'd be leading somebody to the Lord. And it wasn't none of this 1, 2, 3 hocus pocus stuff. I mean, if the Lord wasn't dealing with him, he'd go on. But if the Lord was dealing, he'd say, wouldn't you like to be saved? Say, what is that? That's a man that got saved and knew that God saved him and was willing to speak up for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, they wouldn't listen to me 5 minutes. I didn't know a story like that. All I had was the gospel. You know what I found out as I got a little older? It's the gospel anyway. It ain't about all the stories. It's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So our power through Christ is to be a witness. And our power, our prize, our perfection in Christ, the power that we have in Christ, that I may know him and the power, the Bible says, of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. It's a godly power that we have invested in us from the Holy Ghost of God because of the fact that we're saved, and he calls us saints. Colossians, he says this in chapter 1, verse 11, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. There's a joy about that. It is good to be the saints of God. Psalms 145:10, all thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. You know when the church congregation stands up and they get up and they all start singing? Brother Jerry's up here waving his wings and getting everybody to sing. And everybody starts singing. There's just something about that church congregation that'll lift their voice in praise to a just and a righteous God. It's the saints praising God. Now, I like special music, but I'll tell you what. I like congregational singing because, brother, everybody's going to be in unison. Everybody's going to be in harmony one of these days. And, brother, you ain't never lived. You've been in a church of about 200 people that can raise the roof off the church singing these old hymns. It'll make the hair stand up on the back of your neck, and that's not the Holy Ghost. It just get a hold of you. It is good to be the saints of God. Psalms 132, verse 16, I will also clothe her priest with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. It says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And brothers, there's nothing wrong with the saints of God shouting for joy. In Psalms 132, verse 9, let thy priest be clothed. I just quoted that. Psalms 116:15, precious in the sight. Watch what God thinks about the saints. Even to death, I've used this verse many times when I've had to preach a funeral. It says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. God thinks they're precious right on through till they die. Now tonight, I guess my informational message is this. If you're not a saint, you can be one. You say, how am I going to be a saint? I'm just not a good person. You don't have to be good. See, you don't have to be good. You don't have to be good. You say, what do I do? Let God take care of that. You couldn't fix it anyway. You say, well, I always thought I was a pretty good fellow. You're probably not ready to get saved yet. Huh? Oh, I'm a pretty good gal. You're probably not ready to get saved yet. It's when you come to the end of your rope and God shows you that you need a Savior before you can ever be called the saint of God, you can ever be saved, then you're ready to get saved. Now, you can talk a lot of people through a whole lot of things, but if they don't know they're lost, they can repeat after you and you can walk them through it, and they'll be twofold more the child of hell than they were before you started talking to them. Say, why? Because they never thought they were lost. See, a lost person is not a saint. You say, well, what is he? Well, he's of his father, the devil. He's of Satan. You're either of Satan tonight or a saint of God. You say, oh, Brother Phil, I'm right in the middle. Ain't nobody in the middle. The devil won your soul when Adam and Eve fell, and you were born under condemnation. The Bible says ye are born under condemnation. You belong to the devil tonight. Nobody ever told you that? Well, I'm a pretty good lady. I'm a pretty good man. No, you ain't. You know what I'm talking about. Whoa. Ain't a saved person in here hadn't run that through their mind and said, yep, that book's right. I'm a dirty, rotten sinner. I need to be saved. I don't think I'd ever make a saint. No, none of us would make a saint. God just calls us a saint and gives us a bunch of privileges being saints. I'd rather be a saint than a sinner. I'd rather be a saint than belong to the Satan. Say, you're preaching to the choir, Brother Phil. We're all saved. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. But there might be one here tonight that's never been saved. I want you to know this. You can walk out of here just as clean as the cleanest person in here. You say, why? Because the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. not just a little of it, not just part of it. Say, well, I'm exceedingly sinful. Paul said this is acceptable, saying, worthy of all acceptation. He was the chiefest of sinners. He'd killed saints. He had murdered. He'd done all sorts of vile things as a religious Pharisee, and God saved him. He said, if I can get saved, you can get saved. Now, I like that tonight. So don't go out here and say, well, I can't get saved. I'm too sinful. There ain't nobody too sinful. You might be too full of pride to get saved. You can swallow that and say, God, would you have me? I'm a sinner. Would you save me? And he'd say, I'll not only save you, I'll make you a saint. And along with saint comes all those privileges and all that stuff that's found in the book of Philippians right there. Man, I don't know anybody in their right mind turn that down. I don't know in their right mind wouldn't want to go that way. Say, well, do I have to quit living? You don't have to quit living. Matter of fact, you'll just start living. Amen. You'll have more fun once you get saved than you ever had when you was lost. Because even if you have a bunch of fun when you're lost, you wake up in the middle of the night in a cold sweat, worried about dying, dropping into hell. Amen. But once you're saved and you're saint of God, you never worry about that again. You're homeward bound. You're heaven bound. Let's stand for a word of prayer. Brother Jerry, if you'd get a song or something gathered up, I'll get out of the way here and turn this pulpit over to you and let you lead. And just a verse or two of some song. Miss Emily's coming. You guys get together. No silent night now. Get back up there. Get another.